5.
Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
4.
And it is all Barbaro. It is a blind performance. He runs away from them all.
3.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
2.
And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slew in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it.
1.
He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Derby Countdown on HRRN. Now, here's host Bobby Newman.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Derby Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld as we bring you our final of three shows on this Kentucky Derby week, 8 to 10 a.m. here on Sirius 216, XM 203, and on our website, live streamed at horseracingradio.net. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Everything's great. Looks like the rain's blowing out of here, which is fantastic. We're going to have great days for Oaks and Derby, and looking forward to doing the show today.
The Thursday of Derby week, so affectionately known as Thurby, over the last few years.
The worst name ever.
It is one of the worst names in the history of everything. However, it has become a big party day, a normal year where people are allowed at the track, fans are allowed at the track. Churchill Downs doing their best to make it not just a two-day celebration, Friday for Oaks Day, Saturday for Derby Day, but trying to make it a week-long celebration. And in fact, we kind of joked last year, does that mean Wednesday is Wokes? If Thursday is Thurby, is Wednesday Wokes? But Thurby is a day where a lot of people will come out. They'll actually have some stakes races on Thursday as well. It's kind of a week-long fiesta at Churchill under normal circumstances. While we still have the great races at Churchill Downs all week, we just can't be at Churchill Downs. All the spectators, of course, not allowed on the grounds this week, mostly due to the COVID-19 pandemic and obviously the social unrest going through the country, and especially what's going on in Louisville, made an easy decision, I think, for the folks at Churchill Downs to kind of close off the track for the spectators this week. This morning, Jude, kind of same as yesterday morning, it is a mess in Louisville weather-wise. It is still raining. The track is sloppy right now. They were off the turf for yesterday's live races, although they do such a great job maintaining the main track there that despite all the rain, the track actually got fast by mid-afternoon yesterday. I would not be surprised if that happens again. I'm going to guess that they will be off the turf for today's races, but the rain, although it's still going on, it's supposed to stop within 2 hours of now and then basically be clear through the weekend. So tomorrow, Oaks Day, supposed to be somewhere around 78, 80 degrees and partly cloudy most of the day. And then on Kentucky Derby Day this Saturday, supposed to be in the low 80s and sunny all afternoon. I would assume we will have a fast track for both of those big events. And if you're looking at some of the undercard races, especially on the turf, I would guess we will be back on the turf by tomorrow.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. You know, we did have some massive storms come through the Bluegrass, and you know, it's good to get them out of the way. As you mentioned, Friday, Saturday is supposed to be beautiful, and all next week is supposed to be beautiful. So glad to get this behind us and continue on with the racing. It's unfortunate that we've had off tracks for training the last couple mornings, and Churchill was having some issues with their program today. I don't know. I imagine it's weather-related. So many things are weather-related, you know, this time of year or so. But be interesting to see what Ed has to say. He was on the scene, and, you know, that's going to help us a lot.
You mentioned Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Briss. He will be joining us once again about 10 minutes from now to discuss all things Oaks and Derby and give us kind of a final rundown of what he's seen in the mornings leading up to these big races. And he'll dive in and put his handicapping hat on and really comb over both of these big events and see how the pace is going to set up and how he sees the races being run. He's a sharp cookie, and look forward to having him again in about 10 minutes. Normally, we would give you some news updates right now, but Jude, I think you'd agree, we're at the time, you know, leading up to these races where no news is good news, and thankfully, there's basically no news since yesterday, because the only thing that can happen now newsworthy is negative news, and we certainly don't want any of that. We got enough of that with Art Collector not being able to run in the Derby and finding that out a couple days ago, but there has not been anything changed, no big changes since yesterday, nothing to report. Happy to report, by the way, maybe this is some good news. At this time yesterday, we were not sure whether Brian Hernandez was going to be allowed to ride at Churchill for the remainder of the week. Earlier this week, he actually had a positive COVID-19 test, and then shortly after that, also tested positive for the antibodies. So kind of mixed signals there, and through the advice of the CDC, Churchill Downs making the decision that he's all clear, he's good, he's not contagious, and he was actually back riding yesterday. And he has some other big mounts through the week. He was obviously supposed to ride Art Collector. That was the big one that everyone thinks of when they think of Brian Hernandez, but he has other stake mounts through the week, and really happy to see that he's clear, he's feeling good, he's not contagious, and he's going to have a chance at some big prizes for the next 3 days.
Yeah, the jockey situation has been rather interesting. As I was doing my Pope Jude sheets for Oaks and Derby, the rider switches and stuff that you usually put a lot of stock into, you kind of have to take a step back and say, well, who's riding at Churchill, who's riding at Saratoga, what's the situation here, why is this guy riding this horse all of a sudden. So it's something to keep a close eye on when you're handicapping. You know, it doesn't probably matter all that much in the overall scheme of things who rides a particular horse. A lot of guys that are riding in these big stakes races are very competent and can handle the job, but it does kind of interfere with trainer intention and you know, the general flow of a stable when you have to switch riders midstream. So it's something to look at, and I'm very happy for Brian. I mean, he's a great guy. He's a hard-working guy. He's a good family guy, and I didn't want to see him, you know, sitting on the sidelines if he didn't need to. So that's good news. Plus, it's good news for his health as well, which is probably the most important factor.
Along the lines of what you were saying with the riders there, we're going to have a chance to talk to jockey agent Ron Anderson later on in the program today. He's the agent for both John Velasquez and Joel Rosario. Really interesting difference, you know, really interested to hear what he has to say as far as, you know, being pulled two different directions. You have John Velasquez, for one thing, who's going to ride Gamine, the heavy favorite on the morning line in this year's Kentucky Oaks, picks up the mount for Johnny V on Authentic, who Johnny V has never ridden in this year's Kentucky Derby because Mike Smith opted for Honor AP. Then you have Joel Rosario, who opted to stay at Saratoga and chase the riding title there. He's third, only a few wins behind both of the Ortiz brothers as of now, and figures to have a lot of big mounts over the next week at Saratoga. There are a few horses in many of these stake races that I'm sure Joel Rosario had the option of riding if he decided to go to Kentucky. He's ridden Max Player the last two times. He rode Enforceable last time he ran. He's ridden Major Fed a few times already in his career. So interesting. I really want to hear what Ron Anderson has to say, and, you know, how strange a situation it is for somebody like him to be kind of pulled two different directions from his two top riders. We're also going to have a chance to speak to Jen Shaw, the director of tax services at Dean Dorton. They are very horseman friendly there at Dean Dorton, and she'll be able to tell us all that they have going there and how it affects horsemen and women around the country. Gary Falter, the general manager of Overview is, or rather OwnerView, is going to be with us later today. Let us know what's going on with the OwnerView seminar later on this year and tell us all about OwnerView. And then we're going to speak with Travis Stone. He is the track announcer at Churchill Downs. This, believe it or not, will be his sixth Kentucky Derby call. Does not seem like he has been the announcer there that long, but he does a fantastic job. And Jude, for my money, one of the best in the business. Really looking forward to catching up with Travis. We're going to take a break. When we come back, though, we'll have Ed DeRosa on from Twin Spires and Brisnet. He will give us all things Oaks and Derby. Give us his plays in both of those races. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
While you're celebrating the fastest 2 minutes in sports at home, Twin Spires is your ticket to the Kentucky Derby. Use code HRRN to start earning your $200 new player bonus when you join Twin Spires today. The fun, fast, and easy way to bet on the Kentucky Derby. Twin Spires, the official wagering partner of the Kentucky Derby. Download the app today. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See twinspires.com for details. T&Cs apply. Wager responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Lord Nelson, one of only three sprinters last decade to win three grade ones in a single year, along with champions Run Happy and Mattoli. His three consecutive grade one victories included a stakes record performance in 107 3/5 in Del Mar's historic Bing Crosby Stakes.
Lord Nelson, a dominating performance, easy in the Bing Crosby.
An unrivaled blend of elite speed and pedigree. Lord Nelson, Pulpit's last great son. Look for his first yearlings at Keeneland and Fasig Tipton. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
The Kentucky Derby. The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
Mindeth Bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
And it is all Barbaro. It is sublime performance.
But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
This Saturday, right here on HRRN.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the inside, Freehouse on the outside. Captain Budget. It's Captain Budget on the outside. Silver Charm at the rail. Those two to the wire. Here's the finish. Silver Charm by a neck with Gary Stevens. Captain Budget on the outside, second by five. And Freehouse was third.
Dave Johnson on the call of the 1997 Kentucky Derby, won by Silver Charm, turned out to be the first of five Kentucky Derby victories for trainer Bob Baffert. And seems like a long time ago, Jude, but love getting to hear those stretch calls from Dave Johnson and getting to hear Silver Charm. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Pleased to be joined now by Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Briss. Ed and his team of merry men and women have been doing a phenomenal job for the past week and a half or so, maybe 2 weeks, covering all things workout-wise, Oaks and Derby Field concerned on all the Kentucky Derby channels, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Ed, welcome back to the Derby Countdown.
Thanks so much. Yeah, our final Derby Work show today, but obviously the countdown rages on to about 7 p.m. Saturday.
Really looking forward to, obviously, the next 2 days. It was another wet track this morning for you guys, but the weather is supposed to clear up. So let's dive into it, and we'll start with the Oaks. What have been your impressions? What stood out to you, good and bad, as far as what you've seen in the morning from the Oaks contenders? And let's see how we handicap this race. How do we see it playing out?
Yeah, I think, Gamines look great. It's to be expected. She's obviously brilliant, given her acorn and test wins. Really, the question isn't talent. It's the mile and eighth. Speeches look good. She's been here a little longer for trainer Michael McCarthy. those are definitely, to me, the two most likely winners. I've downgraded Swiss Skydiver just based on the chatter and what my colleagues have seen. You know, coming out of that Alabama and the bluegrass, it's a lot for a filly, and there's some good ones in here. So she's probably the one I've lost a little bit of shine for. And then long shot wise, I would say She Dares the Devil has definitely caught a lot of people's eyes. I don't think we'll get 20-1, even with all the money going to the big three. I figure her to be a comfortable fourth choice.
You mentioned you've lost some shine for Swiss Skydiver. You know, she doesn't look that bad to me. I don't know what everybody else is seeing.
You know better than me for sure.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but
I mean, certainly horse flesh and you know, and part of it, you know, I think if you take the approach of She Dares the Devil might be the party crasher. I mean, maybe the right play is not splitting hairs of which of the obvious three is going to run in there. Just try to beat one of them with She Dares the Devil. But I like Speech so much. I mean, I'm singling her. I don't want anyone to have any doubt that she's my pick. And, you know, maybe I can monkey around with the other two favorites, you know, with the right long shot or in the pick three and double that includes the Derby and the Old Forester. But I think Speech is definitely the value play.
Well, she's going to get a great trip. There's no denying that. I mean, unless something unforeseen happens, she should be in the garden spot the whole race. So you can't really argue with taking Speech. I mean, no matter how you see the race or Swiss Skydiver, I mean,
my concern, I would say, is she never gets the chance to get in a fight. I mean, if Gamine ends up running away from the field, just might be, you know, even in a mile and an eighth, it just might be too late for Speech or Swiss Skydiver to do anything. But, you know, from the one, Kenny said, you know, I asked him when he hopes Tyler engages Gamine, and, you know, he kind of hinted that maybe it'll be a little earlier than some of us are expecting, and why couldn't Swiss Skydiver even be on the lead? That would surprise me, but hopefully it sets up for my pick.
Johnny told us yesterday, and it was interesting when we talked to him, that he's not going to take a hold of Gamine, you know, and he doesn't care if he's second, you know, laying second. But he's not going to fight with her because he doesn't like to fight with her. When you fight with her, she gets obstinate and squirrely. So, you know, that could be really interesting if Swiss Skydiver went to the lead and Gamine raided off of her.
Yeah, well, I like hearing that. I mean, it's frustrating, and sometimes it's the right move. I don't know any better than the jockey or what the trainer may have told him. But, you know, on those types, I always kind of feel like if I'm backing Gamine, you know, I want to see what she's known to be able to do. So a hold would definitely kind of disappoint me if I were in her corner, because it seems like that, as you said, she probably would fight it. Kind of reminds me of some of the trips Funny Side got way back when he was wrangled back in a couple trips, and it just, you know, some horses just don't respond to that.
Yeah, well, she's very flighty, I think, and you know, likes to be a free runner, so to speak. So it's going to be an intriguing thing to watch how that race plays out.
Absolutely, no, 100%. And I mean, the Derby always is, because with the full field, decisions need to be made. But the Oaks, to me, becomes much more likely to be tactical, just because with the nine horses, and some of them are, you know, clear long shots and are not going to be up in that first flight. I definitely think, you know, this is sort of a jockey's race based on strategy more than split second decisions that we see in the Derby because of the full field.
Yeah, you know, Aaron Wellman, who owns Speech, was somewhat concerned about Dona Veloce, which is a horse that's kind of under the radar, maybe forgotten a little bit. I mean, she was, you know, a pending star earlier in her career, and now she's been off a long time. That's probably not going to help her coming in, that she's coming off a 4-month layoff. But yeah, do you think she could have an effect?
I don't like King Guillermo for the same reason.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that she necessarily has to win, but could she have an effect on the pace? I mean, she's got good speed, and you know, I wonder where she fits in the whole scheme of things.
she certainly fits with this group. She was my pick for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and you know, I'd be shocked if we don't hear more from her even after this. And I would say she could have a say. I mean, I know you know, she hasn't discouraged anyone based on appearance. Again, you know, the layoff, and this isn't the Derby, so you know, I think you're more likely to be able to win and contend in a race like this off a long layoff than a mile and a quarter race that, you know, every horse is pointing to if they're able to get there. You know, at 15 to 1 is the fourth choice on the board. I was kind of like, well, she's fourth choice, but I actually think She Dares the Devil is going to take more money. So it's one of those, you know, watch the exacta probables. If she gets ignored, she's certainly usable underneath. And if, you know, I'm being honest, I would say she's a more likely winner than She Dares the Devil, because it feels like if she's really on her A game and runs a race, she's the better filly.
Speaking with Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and Brisnet.com, Ed, picking Speech to win the Kentucky Oaks. If things go exactly the way you'd like, where would you like to see Speech in the early going, and how far back, and where would you want her to make the move?
I would say, I mean, perfect scenario would be Swiss Skydiver goes after Gamine down the backstretch, Speech 2-3 lengths off, and really no one else in the mix, because that would give her pilot an opportunity to decide, you know, is there going to be room at the rail? Does he need to swing out without having to worry about another horse backing into him? But I would say with the spirited pace, I wouldn't mind seeing her as much as 3 lengths off. And I would think they're going to be looking to make the lead at the quarter pole. And as Jude said, and I agree, I mean, she figures to get the trip too, she still has to be good enough, because the other two are fantastic grade one winners. But Speech is a grade one winner too, and she reeled in Venetian Harbor. So granted that, you know, maybe she has some distance questions, but I think the mile and an eighth will suit her fine.
Speech going to try to do something that nobody has been able to do yet, and that is pass Gamine, as she has gone gate to wire in all 4 of her starts. She was disqualified from one due to a medication issue in Arkansas, but other than that, she has gone wire to wire. Let's switch to Saturday's Kentucky Derby, and we're going to have a heavy favorite once again, and most likely, despite an 18-horse field, a heavier favorite than Gamine and Tis the Law. How have these horses looked to you in the mornings, and how do you see this race playing out?
We've only gotten 2 days of Tis the Law because he had a delay. Supposed to get here Monday, ended up being Tuesday. But, I mean, couldn't hear a bad thing about him before he got here. And that's certainly the case, even with him on the ground. You know, the only negative talking point around this horse is some of what his connections have said about other things. So seems like all systems are a go. And, I mean, I'm not going to bet him to win at 3-5, but liking Speech in the Oaks, I'm pretty keen to just cold punch that double, Oaks Derby double with Speech and Tis the Law. And I like some long shots underneath, but I just think he's the best horse. And I hate being so bullish on 3-5 and, you know, in a race that, you know, can produce some prices, although not recently, but well, last year, but before that, certainly not. And but he's just the best horse, and it's just impossible for me to deny that. My money making opinion is that Honor AP won't be in the money.
The Kentucky Derby over the last 5 or 6 years has been won by horses that have been up close most of the way around the racetrack. I'm going to put Maximum Security as the one who crossed the wire first. I know he's not the official winner from last year. Country House was, but Maximum Security, Justify, Always Dreaming, Nyquist, American Pharoah, all horses who were very close to the pace. Before that, you had horses like Orb, Animal Kingdom, Super Saver, Mind That Birder were coming from well out of it. But lately, it seemed like you need to be somewhere near the front most of the way around. Is that something you see again this year, Ed?
Yeah, I think so. And even, you know, even in Mind That Bird and Orb's case, they made the lead by the eighth pole. So, you know, you can be far back, but you got to have that sustained middle move in the Derby. You know, Barbaro in 06, it was certainly the best performance I've ever seen live in the Kentucky Derby. He had that devastating move, and he went on with it. You know, what we've seen from Tiz the Law, that sort of move on the far turn when he puts horses away, is, in my mind, exactly what you want in the Derby. And then you couple that style with the fact that he's able to be forwardly placed, too, as you noted, or made a similar move, but he definitely started it further back and was just, you know, better of that group. Tiz the Law has the chance to just not even let anyone in the race at the quarter pole. So that makes him really dangerous. You know, his style fits, as you said. And to me, it's sort of, okay, who's clunking up late? Because some of them will run back to the field, Authentic. You know, we'll see what Thousand Words does, New York Traffic, et cetera. They might be close to the pace. So I'm hoping that sets something up for a horse like Max Player or Major Fed, even at a much bigger price to spice up the exotic.
Yeah, Major Fed, he's kind of an interesting horse. You know.
Yeah, I mean, he's the local hope now. Our collector and Major Fed, both with Oldham County connections, which is where I live, so, you know, sentimental there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it seems to me he's sort of been trained to get to the race in top form, not necessarily trained to win the race. And his numbers are a little shy of what I would think. He's one of those that, you know, would legitimately surprise me if he were to win. It would be the race of his lifetime for sure. But he's just impressed enough in the mornings. He hasn't missed a beat since he raced, you know, a month and a half ago. So I like that. You know, they've hit every mark to hit this race in the best shape. And I think that could be good enough for second or third at 40-1.
Yeah, you know, we had Greg Foley on yesterday. And, you know, he brought up a good point. He said, just redline the Matt Wynn. He had a terrible trip. And if you look at it, if you do that, I actually did that on my past performances when he was talking. And you take that race out and you look at his other races, he's got a really nice set of PPs. I mean, he's a horse that anybody would be proud to own or to run in the Kentucky Derby. And you know, the 59 blowout was pretty sharp. Lots of things to like about him at a huge number.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think he's in form. He always runs his race now. You know, part of that, always running his race, is there always seems to be trouble, which certainly you don't like in an 18-horse field, a horse who has a propensity for that. But, you know, James Graham's gotten to know this horse, and I just think with the clean trip, I have no concern, you know, with the distance being by Ghost Zapper. And you know, just one of many to me. You know, I'm expecting Tiz the Law to actually run away with the race, you know, an open length win. So in my mind, when I think of how that plays out, I see the scramble for second. And to me, Major Fed can be every bit a part of that late.
Ed DeRosa, strong opinions in both the Oaks and the Derby this year. Loves Speech, 5-1 morning line in Friday's Kentucky Oaks. Loves Tiz the Law, heavy favorite on the morning line in this Saturday's Kentucky Derby. Our colleague Anthony Stabile said he would love to find a prop wager of a margin of victory for Tiz the Law. That's how much he thinks he's better than the field. I think he figures that Tiz the Law is going to win by over three lengths, which is it's definitely possible, but it's a tough road to hoe in the Derby.
The Colin show tonight.
it'll be interesting, and you know, I think 3-5. I think people who like Tiz the Law will be lucky to get 3-5 because it seems like everybody is picking Tiz the Law.
I did my own line and made him 4-5 just because, you know, in my head I'm thinking, well, it's the Derby and there's 17 other options, but you know, even in years, and I would have picked our collector if he were in the race, and now he's not. But you know, there's been years where there's sort of an obvious favorite, and you know, there's always, even with the bigger favorites like Point Given, there's people who are excited to play another horse, and I'm just not seeing that at all in this race, guys. Now, that's not to say you might not, you can think Honor AP's value and say, well, he probably wins this race 1 out of 6 times, so if he's 7-1, that's a good bet, and it is. But I haven't met anyone who's excited about another horse and really eager to bet them to win. And I just don't remember seeing that in a Derby really ever. I mean, Barbaro wasn't even the favorite in his Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the last time there was an odds-on favorite in the Derby was Arazi back in 1992. Different scenario, though, because we were just kind of all in awe from his Breeders' Cup juvenile performance from the year prior. But this is different. We've had a whole body of work, both as a two-year-old and a three-year-old for Tis the Law. He's not just a one-race dynamo. He's, you know, a seven-race dynamo.
Well, and the other thing with Arazi is he wouldn't have been odds-on if AP Indy were in the race. So, you know, and Tis the Law wouldn't be odds on, I don't think, if Art Collector were. But, you know, Art Collector's no AP Indy, and Tis the Law is better than Arazi. So it's all adding up for me that he'll be the first odds on winner of the Derby, I guess, since bid.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. And by the way, Spectacular Bid was my pick in the HRRN Fantasy Derby. I'm still upset with the ride he got that day, Jude, in our Fantasy Derby. I think he could have beaten Secretariat with a cleaner trip.
I think, and unfortunately, I didn't get to see him run in person. So, it's, you know, a little, you know, obviously just conjecture and fun. But I think he's the best horse. I agree with this trainer. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ed, we really appreciate all you've done for us, not only here on the Derby Countdown shows, but you and Joe Christofek, Brandon Staubel, and the entire team at Churchill for bringing us these Oaks and Derby workout shows for the past week and a half. I saw that TwinSpires.com has a phenomenal promotion for new players. What do they've got going?
Yeah, it's $200. It's pretty good pot sweetener to kick off your account. The promo code, there's several out there, but Works 200 is the one we were counting on the work show. So, yeah, check that out, $200 bonus, and for PPs and such. And I'll obviously push this on the Brisnet Calling show tonight, but those looking to handicap and study up, brisnet.com/derby has you covered. And just on the work show topic, guys, I just want to say nothing would make me happier than to be doing this live with you in April 2021. So hope to see you back under the spires in person.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
Really appreciate it, Ed. Thank you so much, and have a great Thurby as well as Oaks and Derby Day, my friend.
All right, thank you, guys. Let's win some money.
Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and BrisNet. Of course, Bris has all of the past performances and other handicapping tools you need. Twin Spires, place you really want to go, especially if you're a new player. Boy, that's a great deal there, Jude. $200 new player bonus if you don't already have an account at Twin Spires. Nice to get that going with this big weekend coming up. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Jen Shaw, the Director of Tax Services with Dean Dorton. Tell us all that Dean Dorton's got going on, and she's got some opinions as well with the Kentucky Derby. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm, the tradition continues.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net. Radio.net. The Phillies take center stage this Friday as HRRN brings you exclusive coverage of the 146th running of the Kentucky Oaks tomorrow. Who will take home the lilies for the Phillies? Tune in beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern to find out. The Kentucky Oaks on HRRN is presented by TwinSpires.com. Go to HorseRacingRadio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As the field turns for home at the top of the stretch, and it is Big Brown who rolls open now to a three-length lead. Eight Bells is second, recapture the glory. It's third, Tail of the County is fourth, and the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby, and it's going to be Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses. It is Big Brown by five on the wire. The Philly Eight Bells was second. Dennis of Cork came from 20th to be third under the line. And Tail of the County was fourth. There's the Derby winner, Big Brown, and he delivered today.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 2008 Kentucky Derby, won by Big Brown. Kent DeSormo aboard. That was Kent's third Derby win in just an 11-year span. He, of course, won aboard Real Quiet back in 1998. 2 years later with Fusaichi Pegasus, and then 2008 aboard Big Brown, who got it done from one of the outside post. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld, happy to be joined right now by Jen Shaw, the Director of Tax Services from Dean Dorton. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Bobby and Jude. How's everything going?
So far, so good.
Good.
We're doing great. We're happy that the weatherman is telling us that the skies are going to clear up in the Louisville area, not only for tomorrow and Saturday, but very shortly today, because it's kind of been a mess out there this morning. But happy that sunnier skies are on the way, and really looking forward to these next 2 days.
Absolutely.
Now, Jen, Dean Dorton is a full-service accounting and tax company, not only tax planning, wealth management, accounting, but really helps a lot of horsemen. Tell us what kind of tax benefits for horsemen Dean Dorton can help with.
Sure. So we work with a lot of industry participants, really across the industry, farm owners, breeders, racing syndicates, racing operations, and the like, bloodstock agents, that type of thing. But there are some tremendous income tax benefits for industry participants, the biggest of which is still the 100% bonus depreciation. So most horse purchases qualify, and other business assets like farm equipment, office equipment, land improvements, and barns also qualify. So if I go to the sales and I purchase a broodmare, or if I purchase a yearling, I can actually write off 100% of the cost of that horse in the year that I purchase it.
That's a tremendous benefit for people that are in the business of racing and farms and breeding. That's not the only thing that you do, though. You can help horse players with life-changing scores, right?
I wish. I thought that's what I was coming on here to get your all's pick for the weekend.
Well, not saying that couldn't happen. I mean, I've been at the races with you. You know your way around the racing form a little bit, and you're not afraid to go to the windows, which is so rare for an accountant, right? Usually your account. I used to train for a guy. One of my first clients was an accountant, and his horse won, and he got claimed, and the guy never got another horse. He said he wanted to be the only person in horse racing that ever made money.
Well, it can be done. I promise you that. But it certainly, you know, with all the tax benefits, obviously that's a big thing. So especially in your beginning years, it is difficult to show a profit. But there are some nice income tax benefits associated with being a horse owner.
By the way, Jen, it's speaking of horse players, is this something where Dean Dorton can help players? Jude was mentioning life-changing scores. Let's just hypothetically say that somebody comes to you who's hit a pick six or something like that, five, six, even seven-figure win at the track. Is this something where Dean Dorton can help with their accounting services, to make it where at the end of the year it's most beneficial that they're losing the least amount of money to Uncle Sam?
Yes, absolutely. We work with horse players, and you know, a lot of times we're working with them to just gather whatever expenses we can to offset those big winnings that you know, that apply. So we certainly work with horse players as well.
Yeah, I know you pay a lot of attention to the new rules, the gambling rules, and the procedures that are put in place now that have actually been a benefit to horse players, but certainly can have a difference at the end of the year. The increments on pick six tickets that are large, and the amounts that you can bet and write off, and all of that stuff. So.
Exactly. And yeah, the withholding issue was a big one, and that, you know, was taken care of through lobbying efforts with the NTRA, and so that, you know, was very beneficial for horse players. But you know, more so we were involved on so that the tracks do the withholding piece, and then we help them try to reduce their taxable income as much as possible by looking out for what expenses we can deduct.
Speaking with Jen Shaw, the Director of Tax Services with Dean Dorton. Jen, tell us, what is the best way for somebody to find out more about Dean Dorton, or maybe get in touch with somebody and get a consultation?
Sure. So you're welcome to go to our website, which is deandorton.com. My contact information, my email is jshaw, that's J-S-H-A-H, at deandorton.com. My phone number, 859-425-7651, and all that is on the website as well, along with our industry publications like compensation surveys and operational surveys for the industry, and some multi-state sales and use tax guides for horse owners.
So we have the Fasig, Tipton, and Keeneland sales coming up now, the yearling sales, a lot of people in town. Are you going to be on site at those places, or does somebody need to call you and set up an appointment, or how does that work?
So normally I am at the sales. This year, with all the COVID stuff going on, we're trying to be respectful, and you know, I don't know that it will necessarily be on site this year. So, but certainly we'll be in town, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone as they come back to town. So email or phone is probably best. But I will be in town and out and about, just not potentially at the sales.
Okay.
Jen, we really appreciate it. Last but certainly not least, we need to know who you like in the Derby this Saturday.
It's a very important call. Yeah. So, I mean, I have to go with, of course, it's hard not to, you know, Tis the Law has certainly earned that top spot, but I'm going with Authentic as well.
All right. So, Jen Shaw from Dean Dorton going to outside of the 38, the very rare in racing 17-18 exact. I think it's actually going to be a popular play this Saturday, but we certainly wish you the best of luck on Saturday and really appreciate everything that you and the entire team at Dean Dorton does for horsemen, horse players, and everyone in our industry nationwide. Once again, you can find more information on their website, deandorton.com. That's deandorton.com. And you can reach Jen at 859-425-7651. Jen, thank you so much for joining us on HRRN's Derby Countdown. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks so much. Have a great time, guys. Take care.
Jen Shaw, she is on top of the things, Jude. Obviously, Dean Dorton does a phenomenal job for so many people, not only people in the racing industry. They're a full-service firm, and obviously anything you want accounting-wise, tax-wise, wealth management, audits, assurance, things like that, they just happen to also be focused on people in our industry, which is great because I would say that these are services that a lot of people in the horse racing industry don't think of until it's too late, until they, you know, they're under the gun and they're up against maybe an audit or up against, you know, tax time. Dean Dorton being a full service firm and having people that understand horsemen, understand horse players, it's really a tremendous asset for our colleagues.
Absolutely, because, you know, we were kind of joking about the fact that accountants aren't really big fans of horse racing, because that there's a lot of money involved, and a lot of times they see more bills than profits. But, you know, Dean Dorton understands the business. They have people like Jen who are into the races, who know their way around the racetrack, and they can really be an asset if somebody's setting up a farm or wants to improve their outlook, and they know the ins and outs of the game. So it's a great place to go, and Jen is really top drawer.
Well, we appreciate having her and Dean Dorton aboard with us and taking time out of their busy schedule to join us here on the Derby Countdown. We'll take another break. When we come back, we're going to have the voice of Churchill Downs, Travis Stone, joining us. This will be his sixth Kentucky Derby this Saturday. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
While you're celebrating the fastest 2 minutes in sports at home, Twin Spires is your ticket to the Kentucky Derby. Use code HRRN to start earning your $200 new player bonus when you join Twin Spires today. The fun, fast, and easy way to bet on the Kentucky Derby. Twin Spires, the official wagering partner of the Kentucky Derby. Download the app today. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See TwinSpires.com for details. T&Cs apply. Wager responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2020 yearling consignments of Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud are loaded with graded stakes prospects once again. Their consignments at Fasic, Tipton, and Keeneland September include half-siblings to current graded stakes horses Bell's the One, Dean Martini, and Indian Pride, as well as full sisters to Grade 1 winner Street Band and recent Saratoga Stakes winners Speak to Me of Summer and Kariba. Brereton C. Jones's carefully developed female families are brimming with exciting updates. Airdrie Stud's yearlings are raised for the racetrack. Think about it.
The Kentucky Derby runs here. HRRN is your radio home for the Kentucky Derby, Saturday, September 5th. We'll bring you full coverage of the Run for the Roses, as well as all of the stakes on the Derby undercard. Plus, Kentucky Oaks coverage on September 4th, and our Derby Countdown shows Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week. Don't miss a minute of the action. The Kentucky Derby, right here on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for a full schedule of events and to listen live.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And firing lines in front, but American Pharoah is looming up on the far outside, and Dortmund is digging down toward the rail, and these three are off the turn together. Dortmund cut the corner, American Pharoah went wide, and firing line is firing between those two, heading to the final furlong of the Kentucky Derby. American Pharoah on the outside, firing line hanging tough from the back of the pack. It's Frosted Dortmund down toward the rail, 16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby. Firing line, Dortmund, and Frosted were second, third, and fourth.
Travis Stone on the call of the 2015 Kentucky Derby, won by eventual Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. Welcome back to HRRN's Derby Countdown. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Pleased to be joined now by the track announcer of Churchill Downs, Travis Stone. Travis, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
So far, so good.
We are doing well. Obviously, we're happy that the weatherman has told us that the current conditions in Louisville are going to go away about an hour or two from now, and we are going to have sunnier skies for Oaks and Derby Day the next 2 days. Travis, this will be your sixth Kentucky Derby call. Boy, it does not seem like it was that long ago that you were calling American Pharoah across the line. There's actually a great YouTube video of you, in the booth calling the race, and then, you know, you being so excited afterwards. It's almost like a kid in a candy store when you got to call your first Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, it's true. That I'd never been to the Derby before. Growing up, not a trip my parents ever made. And then when I finally graduated from college, I was working on Derby Day. So not only was it the first Derby I was going to attend, I was going to have to call it. And, you know, as an announcer, it's just your lifelong dream to be a part of it. And, you know, the pressure and the excitement and the intensity and just the wild nature of the race through the binoculars, it was quite the feeling when they finally crossed the wire. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, it's kind of an emotional experience, huh? I mean, just the Derby in general is emotional for a lot of people, and then to have to call the race and all the pressure, and then to realize that you pulled it off and you made such a great call, that's got to be a very elated type feeling.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know what the right word to describe it would be. You put so much time and effort and energy and thought into it, and it's just like anybody with the Derby. You think about it for weeks, and it all boils down to 2 minutes. And unlike just a fan or a spectator watching the race, you actually have to talk about it while it's happening. And it's so wild when you're used to seeing 8, 10, maybe 12 horses in the binoculars day in and day out, you know, for thousands of races. And then all of a sudden you look through your binoculars and there's 18, 19, or 20 of them. It is such an unnerving feeling. And you try and survive. You try and get through it. And then when you do and you're like, wow, that actually went pretty well, it is I've told people if you could bottle up and sell what the feeling is like in those few moments afterward, you could become a rich man pretty quickly. It's awesome.
Travis, now as a track announcer, you're supposed to be impartial in calling the races and kind of let the races play out and react to what's happening. How much of towing the line is it, especially in a race like the Kentucky Derby, where you're trying not to, you know, you're obviously handicapping the race because we know you love the game, but, you know, reacting to what's going on and not what you think is supposed to go on in a race like that?
I actually think the preparation and the handicapping, just knowing the horses, allows you to get into the moment a little bit better. And the way I would describe it is, you're right. You know, American Pharoah is supposed to win in that scenario. Tiz de Law is supposed to win this weekend. But when things get out of whack or horses are out of position or, quote, the wrong horses make the moves that look like winning moves, that's where the real drama starts to happen. And I think it's the announcer's job to try and capture that. And so I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't root for horses. That's probably a little bit of a lie. There's definitely horses you'd love to see win the Derby, right? But you root for scenarios and situations that create drama and just make the race that much better. And you hope that you have the words and phrases to describe it in a way that captures it appropriately. That's actually an interesting question. I never really thought of it that way. But yeah.
So you kind of have a feel for who's going to go to the lead or who's going to be up close and who's going to come from behind. And if something like that changes, if a horse breaks slowly or some horse that you think really is a closer all of a sudden, you know, is assed out of the gate and is laying up close, those are the kind of things that you want to call to the public's attention that might ordinarily just be the way a race is run.
Yeah, it's sort of, that's what's dramatic, you know, when it stumbles at the start for big favorites or an early speed horse is suddenly off the pace. I mean, those are the situations that produce wild events. I would say that's number one. I think the other component of it is you have to be able to capture the moves that horses make. Every horse can make one move. This is something Tom Durkin has said many times and taught me over the years. They make one move. And if you capture that move, that moment can be very dramatic. And you can just think through all the race calls of all time that the big moves horses make, you know, whether it be Secretariat widening now, right, or, you know, such-and-such horse catapulting past horses was a line Tom used a lot. You know, any of those types of examples, those are the moments that people stand up and the hair on the back of their neck raises. And I think that's the other component there, you know, sort of the other dramatic area that you have to capture. And a lot of what happens in the race is really what allows the crescendo to build. And as the race caller, optimally, you capture that.
Well, it's nice in the Derby that it's a mile and a quarter and you have a little bit more leisurely pace and you know, there's time to describe it, as opposed to like a 6-furlong race that everybody's going hell-bent for leather.
Yeah, I mean, but conversely, there's 18 horses, right? So it takes a good 4 furlongs or half a mile or so to rattle off the names of anywhere from 15 to 20 horses, depending on how fast you go. And, you know, in the Kentucky Derby, once you start the race and you sort of establish the early players, and then you get to what I call the rundown and you run through the field, by the time that's all over, there's only 5 furlongs left. But you could also say now there's only 5 furlongs left to call a horse race, right? You've established the landscape. You've got all the players and where they are. Now it's just about calling how things develop. But then every once in a while, you know, you get some pretty tough scenarios. The year Justify ran, and of course last year with Maximum Security, not only was it rainy and cloudy and miserable, it felt like, particularly last year, 50 horses made moves on the far turn. I mean, every time I'd look left or right, here's another horse making moves all the way to Pluska Parfait. You know, it was it's sort of a wild experience. I know what you're saying, and you're right. In a 4 or 5 or 6 horse field, there's more filler. In a, you know, 18 to 20 horse field, the most of the words you say are names, and that does help.
Talking with Travis Stone, the track announcer at Churchill Downs. He was the announcer at Louisiana Downs a while back, and Monmouth Park called a meet at Aqueduct as well, and he's been at Churchill Downs since the beginning of 2015. This will be his 6th Kentucky Derby weekend, which just seems amazing to me that you've already called 5 of them, my friend. For my money, if not the best, certainly one of the best in the business. Love listening to your calls. Let's get into the handicapping part of it. I know, you know, not only are you an announcer who tries to remain unbiased, but you like handicapping the races. How do you see the Oaks playing out as far as pace scenario and the result, and how do you see the Derby playing out?
Yeah, I do like the handicap. I think when you handicap, it makes you a better race caller. Unfortunately, I don't bet the Derby anymore. That's the saddest moment of the year for me when I realize I can't fire up the wagering app and throw some bets down. The Oaks, to me, is just an absolutely fascinating race. I think Gamin is by far the filly to beat, but I do think 9 furlongs is a bit of a question mark for her. Her best figures have been around the one turn with the, I don't want to say easy lead, but lone lead scenario. And in a race like this, they don't let you get away with too much. So I think she's a little bit vulnerable. I wouldn't be willing to go all in on a horse like her. To me, the way to play this race, though, is a lot of times you have horses like Gamin that are just super fast early. She can sort of break the hearts of horses around her, right? And so a horse like Swiss Skydiver, who's drawn inside, had a big effort in the Alabama, has had a long campaign. I mean, at some point, and it's just hard to maintain top form with a grade one horse for an entire year. And at some point, the wheels are going to get a little bit shaky with her. And I would gamble that maybe Saturday is the day. And if she is sort of hits a wall, all of a sudden you've opened up a spot in the trifecta and superfecta. And I just think there's some interesting closers in there, all the way down to Tempers Rising, who I think is a very interesting horse to come from way off the pace. She Dares the Devil, sort of an off-the-pace type horse, and Dona Veloce, another, that I think are going to outrun their odds a little bit and make a better accounting of themselves. I think there's just more than the Swiss Skydiver versus Gamin with speech lurking in the wings there. But I would play that race with a more focus underneath. As for the Derby, this is Tis the Law's race to lose. But the one thing that's really interesting to me is that Sakatoga and Barkley Tag, they had won the Derby before. They had never won the Travers. And they wanted to win the Travers. And they won the Travers. And not only did they win it, they won it in a big way. Like, I mean, it was a big figure. It was a big performance. There's an argument that he raced on the better part of the track that day, that the inside might have been on the deep end of the pool. And, so maybe he comes back down to earth a few points. And if he does, Waiting in the Wings is a horse that was pointed for the Derby. So he was pointed for the Travers, because Law was, while Honoré P was pointed for the Derby this whole time. He was never going to win the shared belief by open lengths. That was purely a prep. He has been training sensationally throughout leading up to this race. He's drawn well. I think Mike Smith can just follow Tiz de Law around the racetrack, and it's going to be, in my opinion, most of the time anyway, a question of who's better. I think there's a decent chance that when they turn for home, what looks like on paper to be sort of a mundane Derby, I think it could be a pretty exciting stretch drive with Honor AP trying to run down Tiz de Law. I hope it sort of develops that way. I think that'd be the coolest scenario that we could expect. Outside of them, I'm a big handicapper of long shot sort of closers. I'd want to key three horses underneath Max Player, Attachment Rate, and Enforceable in tries and supers if I were playing the race, and just try and sneak one or two of them onto the board. I think all three of them have reason to improve, are going to offer some value, and could goose up those exotics.
Well, Travis, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. Wish you the best of luck, not only in the Oaks and Derby, but all year with the racing at Churchill Downs. Really enjoy listening to your calls, and best of luck, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Good to chat with you, and good luck on the Derby.
Travis Stone, the track announcer at Churchill Downs. For those of you who normally watch the big races at Churchill, the Oaks and the Derby on NBC, you don't get to hear his calls. You get to hear the great Larry Colmus. But I encourage you to go back and listen to Travis's calls as well. They're both fantastic announcers. And if you're playing at a racetrack live, or if you're playing online and listening on any of your ADW accounts, then you do get to hear the track feed, and you get to hear Travis Stone. He does a phenomenal job, not only with these big races, Jude, but day in and day out at Churchill Downs. He's one of those guys where, you know, you can be in another room or in a, you know, walking through a part of the track where you don't get to see it live or through on TV, and you know exactly what's going on. And when I say that, he's on point, he's very accurate, but he's not a boring announcer. You know, he's got good energy, and he's just as sharp as a tack up there in the announcer's booth.
Yeah, he does a great job, and there's nothing like that when you're going through what you described, someplace where you can't see the action or be close to a television set or whatever. I mean, I used to drive around L.A. a lot when I was in college working, and Alan Buchdahl used to call the races at San Anita, and he was so accurate. You could just picture the race in your head as you were driving around town, and you weren't even close to a racehorse. And Travis gives you that same feeling. He really describes the action, and like you say, he's not boring. He's not putting you to sleep. It's not one of those Irish announcers that are great bedtime listening. You know, I love those
There are plenty of American announcers who are bedtime, you know. Go to sleep material.
And yeah, but the Irish
guys. I don't
have
to mention any names, but Travis is definitely not one of those.
The Irish guys, they have those great voices.
He's as good as it gets. He's really sharp. He's a great guy and loves
the
game.
Great guy. Really great guy. On top of it all, he's a wonderful person. So that makes
one of the things I miss the most about not being able to be at Churchill all week is that he and I were trying to get out and play golf earlier this week. Sometime when he was not calling the races, he loves playing golf too. And we'll have to postpone that, I guess, till late April next year if weather permits. And as Jen Shaw put it so eloquently, this COVID stuff goes away. Because I say COVID stuff all the time. I'm so happy that she put it that way as well. Hopefully this COVID stuff will be gone and things will be back closer to normal for next year's Kentucky Derby. But glad to speak with Travis. Looking forward to hearing his calls. We're going to take another break. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
The 2020 Thoroughbred Owner Conference is being offered virtually November 3rd and 4th. We are committed to providing the Owner Conference in as safe and healthy an environment as possible. Experience 9 panels with expert speakers, moderators, and a keynote address. Ask questions of speakers from your home, office, or anywhere you are. Visit ownerview.com to register and be part of this important event while staying safe, healthy, and comfortable. Wherever you are, we'll be there. Visit ownerview.com today.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Right now, we all might feel a little disconnected. For seniors living alone with smaller social circles, feelings of loneliness and isolation can feel overwhelming. But there's something we can all do to help. Connect with your older loved one virtually and have the conversation of a lifetime with StoryCorps Connect. Anyone can conduct an interview, and every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history. Connect, honor, share at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Get in-depth handicapping advice on the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman look forward to all of the weekend's biggest stakes races and break down each one with expert analysis. Get a jump on the competition with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, Fridays at 6 on Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming at horseracingradio.com. The Phillies take center stage this Friday as HRRN brings you exclusive coverage of the 146th running of the Kentucky Oaks. Tomorrow, who will take home the lilies for the Phillies? Tune in beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern to find out. The Kentucky Oaks on HRRN is presented by TwinSpires.com. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And the battle is joined here. Uncle Chuck on the inside and Tiz the Law on the outside. They are heads apart for the lead. Caracaro is in third. Max Player now makes his move on the extreme outside. Country Grammar is down towards the rail. And Tiz the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tiz the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tiz the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind. It's Tiz the Law. He won the Belmont Stakes. He's going to win the run, Happy Travers. And now it's on to Kentucky as the favorite in the Derby. Here he is, Saratoga's hometown hero, Tiz the Law.
John Imbrial on the call of the Grade 1 Travers, won by Kentucky Derby favorite Tiz the Law. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Before we go forward, Jude, just an update on the schedule here on HRRN. We've got you covered all things Oaks and Derby over the next few days, later today on the network. By the way, all of the shows after the Derby Countdown will be on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming live on horseracingradio.net. Race day from 3 to 6 today, Anthony Stabile and myself going over all the races during that time frame from both Churchill Downs and Saratoga. And then from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight, the Brissonette Call-In Show. Anthony Stabile will be joined by Ed DeRosa, and they will answer all your questions, Oaks and Derby, or whatever else you would like to know about. Tomorrow is Kentucky Oaks Day, and we've got you covered 3 to 6 p.m. on the network. From 3 to 4, we're going to be looking at the Saratoga and Churchill races. Then from 4 to 6, Anthony Stabile and myself will have Kentucky Oaks coverage, sponsored by TwinSpires.com, and everything on the undercard leading up to the big race tomorrow, the Kentucky Oaks. From 6 to 7 tomorrow night, the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts. Anthony and I will look at 14 big stakes on the weekend, all of the Saturday stakes from Churchill Downs, as well as both the Saturday and Sunday stakes from Saratoga. Then Saturday morning, the Equine Forum is back from 8 to 10 a.m. The Kentucky Derby undercard presented by Twin Spires, Ashley Mayu and myself, from 4 o'clock to 5:30. We're going to have three stakes on that program. And then we turn it over to Mike Penna, Kurt Becker, and Tom Leach for live coverage of Kentucky Derby 146, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Wall-to-wall coverage of racing, especially with the Oaks and Derby, the next few days here on HRRN. Well, Jude, we've talked a lot about the Oaks and the Derby the last few days, but we really haven't given our selections or how we think the races are going to play out. So let's start with the Oaks tomorrow. And we've got a heavy favorite on the morning line in Gamine, who is even money. We have Swiss Skydiver, who is in an interesting post position down along the rail at 8-5. Speech is 5-1. All the other fillies are big prices. How do you see the race taking shape, and who do you like?
Well, I think Gamine's probably going to go to the lead. Kenny McPeak's kind of hinted around that he was going to tell his rider to break from the gate and take no prisoners. I don't know how that's going to shake out. Johnny told us he was going to not take a hold of his filly and let her run. So there could be a pace duel. I think Gamine's probably the faster of the two. So I can see her making the lead and Swiss Skydiver sitting second off of her. I like Swiss Skydiver. I guess I'm the Lone Ranger these days because everybody's been knocking her. I don't know why they're knocking her. I think a lot of it's mental. I think a lot of it's, oh, she's had a long campaign, this, that, and the other thing. She's run a lot of time. She's done a lot of traveling. She's You know, then you have the trainer on. Kenny McPeak says she eats more than Dale Romans, Kenny McPeak, and Jude Feld combined. So that tells me this filly's not tired. She's not worn out. She's, you know, if she's eating like that, that's a great thing. And she's kind of a beast when you look at her. I mean, she gives you the same kind of feeling that Honor AP does and Tis the Law. I mean, those two horses, when they train, they just look like they're in a different world. And I think Swiss Skydiver gives you that same kind of feeling. So she's my pick for the Oaks. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Gamine won or Speech. And since Aaron Wellman brought up Simon Callahan's filly, she's kind of, Donna Veloce, she's kind of, you know, intriguing me as well. But it's not an easy race. The Oaks is never particularly easy. But when Funnyside won the Derby, I nailed the Oaks. I had the best day I ever had at the racetrack on Oaks Day and the best weekend I ever had in my life on that Oaks and Derby. So I'd like to replay that, actually.
You mentioned how well Kenny McPeak says Swiss Skydiver eats. We had Aaron Wellman on the program a couple days ago. He's owner of part of Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, and they own Speech, and he mentioned what a good eater she is. I was thinking about that. I go, well, it's a compliment when he says that about the filly, but when they say that about you and me, it's really not very complimentary when they say that we're good eaters.
Yeah, well, you know, that's always been the question about, you know, in the old days, they used to be afraid if they ate too much that, you know, they look like, but with racehorses, especially fillies, they can be very finicky and tough to deal with sometimes. And a filly that likes to eat and is always in her tub is a good thing. It really takes a lot of stress away from the trainer, and usually is an indication that they're loaded for a big race. So I was encouraged when Kenny said that, and I think she's looked good in the morning. She looks like a real strong racehorse to me.
I think that the rail, which normally I would like at a mile and an eighth, is a tough spot for Swiss Skydiver because I don't think Tyler Gaffley, I don't think she can get the lead over Gamine if Gamine breaks cleanly. And I don't think she wants to be battling with Gamine early on. So it kind of forces the hand of Tyler Gaffalione to kind of let Gamine go and come to the outside of her and stalk from there. And I think that gives her her best chance of winning. Obviously, if Gamine doesn't break well and Swiss Skydiver just goes out to the lead, that's their perfect scenario. But if you're assuming both fillies break cleanly, I think it's a it, I actually think Swiss Skydiver would rather have been drawn outside of Gamine and be able to follow her to the first turn. So Tyler Gaffalione, that's why he and other riders in these situations get paid the big bucks. They will have to react and make the right decision. And Jude going with Swiss Skydiver in the Kentucky Oaks. I actually think it's going to be Gamine or Speech. So we're on opposite ends of the favorite spectrum when it comes to the Friday races, my friend. How about on Saturday? Tis the Law is the 3-5 overwhelming morning line favorite. Mike Battaglia laying him so low on the morning line in an 18-horse field that to make the program work, meaning to make it plausible for the morning line to be accurate, he's got a boatload of huge long shots. I think there are 7 horses laid at 50-1. You know, Anthony Stabile thinks there are probably some horses that should be laid 99-1. I don't think that's politically correct in the Kentucky Derby to lay a horse that's an accomplished runner 99-1. You know, we're not seeing Rick's Natural Star here in the Breeders' Cup turf, horse that couldn't win, you know, bottom level claiming races in New Mexico. These are all horses that have done something and you know, performed okay at least in some stake races. But we're going to have a heavy favorite in Tis the Law. My question is, do you think they can beat him, and how can they beat him? What's the best way, if Tis the Law breaks well, what's the best way for somebody to cause the upset on Saturday?
Well, the only way to beat him is be as good as he is. And I really firmly believe and have all along believed that there's really only one other horse that can beat him, and that's Honor AP. And I don't know if Honor AP can beat him. It's been my belief that he is about on par with Tis the Law. He's another horse that just looks like a beast. He just trains so big. I mean, he's impressive, and so is Tis the Law. I mean, Tis the Law, I've been on Tis the Law since his first race, and people have heard me say this, and people that, you know, read Pope Jude reports, they know that Tis the Law has been, you know, on my radar from day one. I mean, it's very rare that I send Texas to Great Britain from Saratoga, but you know, my record there is pretty good. Big Brown and Uncle Mo and, you know, Tis the Law. So I just think Tis the Law is a really good horse, top competitor. I think he's one of the best horses in the country. He may end up becoming one of the best horses I've ever seen race, and I've been going to the races since I was 3 years old. So that's 60 years of race going. I've seen hundreds of thousands of races. I just really think Tis the Law is the horse to beat. I think the only horse that can beat him is Honor AP, and I'm looking for some horses maybe underneath to play the trifecta or something. Just, you know, I'm not going to play the race real heavily. It's not when you have a 3-5 shot, you're not going to really make a ton of money unless you get him beat. And I think that's probably kind of a sketchy situation, but you know, for me, it's Tis the Law and you know, Honor AP. Those are the two horses that I like the best.
Okay, so you like the two favorites in the Derby. That's a, you know, that's not unusual. A lot of people are finding it hard to get past Tis the Law and Honor AP. But you mentioned that you might kind of spread around with some prices underneath. Who are some of the long shots that you think are intriguing for the minor awards?
Well, you know, I don't know that he's necessarily a long shot, but I thought Thousand Words was a horse that is getting good at the right time. It's Baffert. It's, you know, a horse that showed a lot of ability, had a little break in the action where he lost his focus, but he's back now. Bob said he turned the corner. Bob was very effusive in his praise after the Los Alamitos Derby. He ran great that day, and I thought he ran great, and Bob, you know, underlined that with his comments, and so I wasn't surprised when he won last time out. New York Traffic, trained by my friend Safi Joseph. I mean, he's a horse that, you know, tries hard all the time, and Safi's been trying to win this race. He won the Barbados Triple Crown when he was like 21 years old, or maybe even 19. I can't remember the exact age, but, you know, he's been a trainer a long time, and he knows his way around horses. I was very impressed with what Greg Foley said about Major Fed yesterday. I liked his work. I like his form. His speed figures are a little light, but he's eligible to improve. Enforceable worked good. I thought his work was pretty nice. He's going to be a long ways back. It's hard to make an impact, but he could be third or fourth very easily. And then Finnick the Fierce, he's a horse that, you know, I've kind of been watching for a while. He's got talent. He also only has one eye. Somebody made a comment about him breaking from the rail in the one eye, and I don't think any of that's going to bother him. I think he's used to having one eye, and he's going to come from off the pace, and he's a very willing horse, and he's been galloping really good. He's looked great in the mornings from my eye, what I've seen on television. I wish I would be there in person to see the horses live, but he's looked great on TV. So maybe he's just photogenic. I don't know, but he's going to be 50-1 at least. He might be 60, might be 70. I don't know what he's going to be, but I'm definitely going to have him on some trifecta tickets because I think he looks really good. So he would be my biggest crazy long shot in the Derby would be Finnick the Fierce.
Lots of options there to play, even if you like Tis the Law on top. Lots of options to use underneath. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll be joined by jockey agent Ron Anderson. He has the book for both John Downs, One State at Saratoga. Going to be interesting to hear what he has to say about that situation. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
While you're celebrating the fastest 2 minutes in sports at home, Twin Spires is your ticket to the Kentucky Derby. Use code HRRN to start earning your $200 new player bonus when you join Twin Spires today. The fun, fast, and easy way to bet on the Kentucky Derby. Twin Spires, the official wagering partner of the Kentucky Derby. Download the app today. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See twinspires.com for details. T&Cs apply. Wager responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee. Like their sire, his runners have excelled on both dirt and turf, including these standout performers.
Setting the mood as she draws off to win by as much as she wants. Gibberish for E5 Racing Thoroughbred. She won by 5 in the end.
With juveniles selling over $400,000 and yearlings bringing up to $650,000, the sky's the limit for this promising young stallion. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Brisnet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Brisnet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
The 1957 Kentucky Derby featured a field many considered to be the finest ever assembled at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May. Favored Bold Ruler was set to square off against Round Table, Gallant Man, and storied Calumet Farms' Iron Liege. Federal Hill took the lead, but Iron Liege wrested it away into the stretch, with Gallant Man charging hard.
Iron Liege is ahead with Gallant Man closing the gap. Now watch closely. Things happen fast. Willie Shoemaker of Gallant Man has victory in his grasp. Slowly he pulls abreast, then ahead of Iron Liege. Just another 16th to go. Then it happens. Shoemaker misjudges the finish line, stands up in the stirrups, and Iron Liege wins by a nose. Closest Derby finish in 24 years.
Iron Liege, under the great jockey Willie Hartack, held on by a nose over Gallant Man and an embarrassed Bill Shoemaker, who admitted to misjudging the finish line a 16th of a mile from the wire. It was one of the biggest gaffes ever in the thoroughbred sport, and most certainly a memorable moment in Kentucky Derby history.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lascano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for home, authentic by a length. New York traffic won't go away. He's trying hard, and Dr. Post finding his best ride, but has five to make up. Authentic just breezing through the stretch. Opens up to lead it by three lengths. New York traffic trying so hard, and he is closing the gap now. Here comes New York traffic after Authentic. Authentic, New York traffic are going to hit it together. Here it is. Photo finish, Authentic and New York traffic. Then it was Dr. Post third, and Jesus' team finished fourth.
Frank Miramonte on the call of the Grade 1 Haskell, won this year by Authentic. And Authentic is drawn on the extreme outside in this year's Kentucky Derby, breaking from post 18 under John Velasquez. Bob Baffert, the trainer, figures to show speed, maybe the speed of the speed, Jude, as we get ready for Kentucky Derby 146. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld, we are efforting to get jockey agent Ron Anderson. He's a very busy man. He handles the book for both John Velasquez and Joel Rosario. Now we welcome to the program, Ron, welcome to the Derby Countdown.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good morning to everybody.
How's it going?
Well, things are a little hectic, to say the least. Yesterday, I had a draw for Johnny opening day for Kentucky Downs that went off basically almost simultaneously to the draw for Joel in New York. So I had two iPads with two Zooms going on at the same time. It was something that I hadn't experienced before, but, you know, like I tell everybody, that it's all exciting, and it all feels good, positive. So we're in a good spot.
Yeah, you're such a great jockey agent. You got one jockey in Saratoga and one jockey at Churchill Downs. I really like that move.
I feel very fortunate, obviously. Yeah,
that's great. Well, you've been doing this a long time, and there's probably nobody better than you. There may be a few guys as good, but nobody's better. You know your business inside and out, And one thing, when you give somebody a call, it's a call. You don't have to worry, is Ron taking off my horse, even if it's Jude Feld.
Well, we did a lot of business back in the day when you were up and running. I kind of pride myself on trying to be legitimate. And, you know, at times I'm more apt to take off or attempt to take off one for a bigger guy than a littler guy, because I think the trickle down from a little guy is way, you know, more hurtful. You know, he's got a gallop boy and a groom and an assistant and an owner that's depending on, you know, the guys that I've worked for are pretty marquee. And when you throw them in the deep end of the pool, that's not good. So I pride myself on not doing that with anybody, but I'd be more apt to do it with a big guy than a little guy, because the little guy, you know, I can usually find somebody for them that appeases them, and so it's all good. We trudge on.
Yeah. Well, you've done a great job over the years, and certainly helped me a lot in my career, and especially when you had Fernando Toro, he made a lot of difference to my horses, and that was fantastic. Of course, Gary Stevens didn't hurt me either, so.
Right, you know, Fernando. I tell everybody, if I'm ever considered very good at this business or at this game, Fernando's tutelage to me was, I mean, just monumental for me. I honestly believe if I didn't have him, I would have never been in the spot or the quite the agent that I am. But he was just amazing, and you were around him. He was a gentleman. He knew the game backwards and forwards. He understood the animal. Which I didn't at the time, because I'd never been brought up around the horse, but he was really instrumental for me.
Yeah, kind of one of the unsung jockeys of all time. I mean, he was so great. He won a lot of big races, huge Breeders' Cup performer, and just, you know, just one of those guys that that people don't give enough credit to.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'm here recently. I've kind of tried to drum up some chatter for him to be considered for the Hall of Fame. So I hope that goes forward. You know, they have their own parameters for all that with numbers and this, that, and the other thing. And I kind of think he should definitely be considered.
Ron, you've got an interesting situation this year, having not only just having two of the top riders in the world in John Velasquez and Joel Rosario, but having to basically choose where you want to be because of the COVID-19 situation and the protocols that the jockeys have for traveling from one part of the one track to another. You basically had to make your choice. John Velasquez obviously riding a big favorite in Gamine in the Kentucky Oaks, picking up a nice mount for him on Authentic in the Kentucky Derby. Joel Rosario probably could have had several stakes mounts this entire week at Churchill. He decided to stay in New York. It wasn't a choice of, you know, coming down to Churchill for a few days, then going back to Saratoga. They had to choose one or the other. And how tough are these decisions? And really, how tough is it on you as the agent to be working two different parts of the country?
Well, it's not difficult for me, but the decision that had to be made, of which these are my decisions, as Jude would tell you, when I had to make the decision for Johnny, that was simple. Gamine I had already spoke to Bob about Authentic, so I knew it was on him. So that was an easy call. The tough situation had to be, you know, generally speaking, we were ridden Saratoga on Wednesday, Thursday, flown Friday morning for Oaks and Derby, back Sunday and Monday for the last 2 days at Saratoga. Well, this year with the protocols, that wasn't even an option because they wanted everybody in here the first of the week to test. They tested when they first got to town on Tuesday morning. They came in on a private. They test again this morning. You know, they're just trying to stay ahead of it, and I understand all that. So Johnny was an easy decision. Joel, I would have basically probably come in Derby Day and rode some of the stakes on Saturday and then gone back Sunday, Monday. So the same idea, but that wasn't an option. And at the time, Linda's horse for me, Max Player, was not somebody that I thought I would go to Kentucky to ride, because basically I wasn't sure that he had a great chance to even light the board. But when Steve got him, you know, training over the track, Steve's, you know, I have a very good relationship with Steve. Joel's won a bunch of races for him here, especially recently. I considered to go, but I had already kind of set up my bed to stay in Saratoga. So, you know, some of these are not black and white situations, and this definitely wasn't. And the protocols are just, you know, we laugh about it. Johnny and I laughed about it last night. Basically speaking, since this all started, he's been tested maybe 20 times, you know, with all the travel. They're sticking these things up his nose, and a couple of them I think were blood tests. You know, they just prick your finger. But they've been, you know, and they're extra to a, you know, to their they're very cautious. They're always masked. They're generally a lot of times gloved. They're really aware of the, you know, the Brian Hernandez, who I guess they've let he's negative now, and they're going to let him ride today. But they're very aware of the illness and the way it can spread. And I can only speak for Joel and Johnny. They've both been super, super cautious and you know, in trying to stay well. And so far, we've crossed fingers, we're in a good spot.
Yeah, it's got to be tough because jocks' rooms are you know, not the best place to hang out with the COVID virus. That's for sure. I mean,
not at all. They're all closed up. You know that, yeah. And there's not a lot of air in some of them. And but since this has all started, you know, they spread everybody out, and they're taking the utmost precautions with, you know, disinfectants and keeping things clean and all. So far, especially in New York and for the most part in Kentucky, we've been lucky enough in the game to be able to keep going. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of interruption on our circuit.
Speaking with Ron Anderson, the jockey agent for both John Velasquez and Joel Rosario. Joel Rosario in the midst of a riding race with the two Ortiz brothers at Saratoga, just a few wins behind them going into their final weekend of racing. John Velasquez riding a lot of big-name runners in the stakes races the coming days at Churchill Downs, not only the ones we know for the Oaks and the Derby, Gamine and Authentic, but picking up the mount on CC, picking up the mount on Horologist, I believe. How does that happen where, you know, are they calling you or are you making calls to some of these horsemen, you know, trying to get on the mounts that you haven't been on yet?
Lucky enough with guys like this, the phones ring. Like I tell people, the game's fun and you've got a really good job and position if your phone's ringing. If you got to ring people and you're begging or you're asking, it's not as easy and it's not as fun. Lucky enough with these two guys, the phone is ringing. You know, Michael McCarthy's horse, smooth as straight in the three-year-old race, has only been beaten once. He's another huge player, I believe. That one Johnny had won on at Churchill before he went out to California and won the race at Del Mar 3 weeks ago. What was it called? La Jolla Mile. So that was easily pieced together. And then I honestly think with the draw and everything that CC of Michael McCarthy's is definitely a player in that race. In fact, I like her quite a bit. So there's all different ways to what I call piece the puzzle together. And with these kind of guys, lucky enough, like I said, the phone is ringing, and that makes it good.
Well, Ron, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. We wish you the best of luck, and hopefully, it won't be too long before you can go back down to one iPad, where both John Velasquez and Joel Rosario are, you know, somewhere in the same range of each other down the line.
I would assume that.
JV will be heading to Kentucky Downs after Churchill Downs, and Joel obviously finishing out the meet at Saratoga. Two top riders, and you do a fantastic job for them, as you have for all your riders throughout the years. We wish you the best of luck, not only this weekend, but going forward, and really thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, and Joel will be on a private to start at Kentucky Downs on the second day, so that's all good. That'll be one iPad. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks. Jockey agent Ron Anderson. He's as we so often put it, an agent to the stars, Jude. But you know what? He's got great riders, but he also does a phenomenal job. You know, it's a give and take. You know, he's getting a percentage of everything that his riders make on the racetrack, but guys like Joel Rosario and John Velasquez would not employ Ron Anderson if he was not great at what he did.
Oh, he's a star. I mean, the guy is in a different league, really, and he's got a great story and you know how he became an agent, and he's been in the game a long time now. We've been friends for over 30 years, and I can tell you he's really as good as it gets.
He's a sharp guy. He's a busy guy. And it's, I think he was saying that, you know, it's fortunate that, you know, his phone was ringing. It's not so much him calling other guys. They're calling him. I assume that some of these trainers and maybe even owners look at the horses that they know are going to be running in the Oaks or the Derby. And they see, well, obviously John Velasquez is going to be here for Gamine in the Oaks. At least, even if they didn't know at the time that he was going to be riding Authentic in the Kentucky Derby. So we know he's going to be in town, and maybe that's how, you know, they get connected, and Mike, trainers like Mike McCarthy and some of the other ones who Johnny V would not normally be riding for get together. And as Ron was saying, I mean, he's got a lot of really good mounts lined up for Johnny V this weekend at Churchill, and he always has great mounts lined up for Joel Rosario at Saratoga. Should be fun watching them both in the coming days, and then they'll be reunited next week at Kentucky Downs. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll talk to Gary Falter from Ownerview and find out what Ownerview is all about and what they've got scheduled of the year. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
The 2020 Thoroughbred Owner Conference is being offered virtually November 3rd and 4th. We are committed to providing the Owner Conference in as safe and healthy an environment as possible. Experience 9 panels with expert speakers, moderators, and a keynote address. Ask questions of speakers from your home, office, or anywhere you are. Visit ownerview.com to register and be part of this important event while staying safe, healthy, and comfortable. Wherever you are, we'll be there. Visit ownerview.com today.
The 2020 yearling consignments of Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud are loaded with graded stakes prospects once again. Their consignments at Fasic, Tipton, and Keeneland September include half-siblings to current graded stakes horses Bell's the One, Dean Martini, and Indian Pride, as well as full sisters to Grade 1 winner Street Band and recent Saratoga Stakes winners Speak to Me of Summer and Kariba. Brereton C. Jones's carefully developed female families are brimming with exciting updates. Airdrie Stud's yearlings are raised for the racetrack. Think about it.
After a resounding victory in the Spiral Stakes at Turfway Park, many dismissed Animal Kingdom in the 2011 Kentucky Derby because he had never raced on dirt. But his trainer Graham Motion and owner Barry Irwin were confident the surface would not be an issue. As Animal Kingdom pounced on the leaders and ran away from them under future Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez, it appeared the brain trust would be correct.
They're into the stretch, and it's Shackleford with the rail, and Nero on the outside. These two Animal Kingdom roaring down the center of the track. Here comes Animal Kingdom in the middle of the racetrack to Randoni, and it's Nero and Shackleford, but it's Animal Kingdom and John Velasquez to win the Derby!
Animal Kingdom became the first horse to win the Derby with only 4 previous races since Exterminator in 1918, and the first horse to win following a 6-week layoff since Needles in 1956, providing racing fans with another memorable moment in Kentucky Derby history.
The Kentucky Derby. The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
Mind that bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
And it is all Barbaro. It is sublime performance.
But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
This Saturday, right here on HRRN.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lionheart turns for home, and undefeated Smarty Jones comes wide off the turn. And these two hook up at the top of the stretch. Lionheart is all heart. Smarty Jones is all out. And those two deadlocked at the eighth pole. And Smarty Jones is rose to the lead by journeyman jockey Stuart Elliott. And they have taken the lead away from Lionheart. Farther back, it's Limehouse and Imperialism. And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slew in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it. Limehouse was second. Imperialism finished third. And Limehouse was fourth.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 2004 Kentucky Derby, won by Smarty Jones and jockey Stuart Elliott. Smarty Jones covering the mile and a quarter in 2 minutes, 4 seconds flat. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld pleased to be joined now by Gary Falter from Ownerview. Ownerview, really a great conference every year that tells you all you want to know about not only just the game of horse racing, but the business of horse racing and what it takes to be involved and be an owner. Gary, welcome to the Derby Countdown.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. How are you?
we're doing great this morning, my friend, and really excited once again that despite everything that the world has thrown at us, that OwnerView is going to be going forward once again with one of these tremendous conferences at the end of the year. It's usually live right around Breeders' Cup time, but obviously things a little different this year, but the show must go on. We'd love for you to tell us more about exactly what OwnerView is and what people can expect from this year's conference.
Sure, glad to. So, you know, this was an exciting year starting off. This was going to be the first year that we were going to host the owner conference in Saratoga Springs, New York. And NYRA was great, has been great in helping us put that conference together. And then, you know, July rolls around, and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to have on-site attendance at Saratoga. And we had to regroup and be flexible and reschedule the conference from Saratoga to Lexington during Breeders' Cup week. So, you know, all the plans we had and all the schedules we had, you know, all had to change at the last minute. And so we were able to get things moved and rescheduled to Lexington. But as this year has shown, we just need to, such a challenge. It just has to be flexible and willing to change. And where we are now is we're still going to host the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. It's going to be November 3rd and 4th, which is Breeders' Cup week. But it's going to be a virtual conference only. We're not going to have on-site attendance. You know, we're very focused on the health and safety and the comfort of our guests. And so that'll bring in new challenges doing it virtually. But it has its pluses. It has a lot of positives. We still have 9 great panels, great speakers lined up. They'll all be a part of the conference live, and it'll all be done remotely. We'll have our moderators on site and cover a lot of great topics. And we're excited about doing it this year. Virtually, it's be our first time we've done live streaming of the owner conference, and I think that's probably the world we're going to live in for some time now, where you know, we'll have a lot of online virtual meetings, and at some point, hopefully next year, we can get back to having on-site live attendance mixed with a virtual conference.
Is it going to be like a Zoom call or a TED Talk, or what kind of format are you looking at?
Yeah, we had a meeting yesterday with the service provider for the all the technical side, and they said it'll be more like a Zoom conference where our speakers will all be seen by the guests that log in to our conference, and our moderators will be on site in Lexington, and so we'll have it'll work very similar to the way we've done it in the past. There'll be a lot of great questions and dialogue and discussions between our panelists and our moderator, and then at the very end of every panel, we'll open it up for Q&A, where those who are participating remotely can use the chat version of the questions, and they can submit their questions, and then it could be interactive from that point of view. So, it's a challenge, but I think a lot of people have been operating in that world of Zoom and video conferencing and so on for the past several months. So I think we're up for it, and we're looking forward to trying something new.
Speaking with Gary Falter from OwnerView, the website is ownerview.com, and you can see the entire schedule for this year's owner conference right there on the site. Most of the panels being moderated by either Acacia Courtney or Gabby Gaudette, and you have a tremendous cast of characters from the ownership side, from the trainer's side, from the jockey's side, from the business side, from the veterinary side. It's really a tremendous outlay of what's going to be going on in the conference this year. But for those of us who are new to OwnerView or maybe looking at the site for the first time, in general, what exactly is OwnerView, and what are you guys trying to accomplish?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, back in 2011, the Jockey Club announced 9 industry initiatives to help build the industry, and one of those 9 initiatives that came out of the McKinsey study was to develop new tools and resources to encourage thoroughbred ownership. And so it became very clear that we needed to do something to encourage ownership and bring in new owners and retain the owners that we have. So in May of 2012, we launched the website ownerview.com, which is a website that aggregates information from many, many different sources into a single website for those who are involved in ownership or want to get involved in ownership, to be able to go to a single site to look up information on trainers or racing syndicates or licensing, training centers, stallion, you name it. We've got on the menu about 18 different options and a lot of detail there. And the great thing about the OwnerView website is all that content is free. You don't have to have a login. You don't have to pay for it. It's there to utilize, and we get a lot of owners and prospective owners who use the website on a daily basis. The trainer information is updated on a daily basis, same with the racing syndicates. So a lot of content there, and highly recommend anybody that's involved in ownership to check it out. In 2014, we moved to another level by hosting the Thoroughbred Owner Conference, and so we had did a little research and realized that a conference dedicated to thoroughbred owners had not been done. Our partner Toba does really great seminars for ownership and pedigrees and confirmation, and those are typically half-day new owner seminars during a race meet. But we wanted to put together a more comprehensive conference that lasts 2 to 3 days, that takes a very deep dive into ownership and ownership topics, and bring in a lot of great speakers and panelists, and have a lot of great social events, which unfortunately that won't happen this year, but we've always had great social events. And this would be our seventh year with the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. So we launched in 2012 with ownerview.com, and then 2014 we started the Thoroughbred Owner Conference at Keeneland, was the first site.
Talk a little bit about the...
Well, I think... Go ahead, Jude.
The mentorship aspect of OwnerView and how that benefits people that are just getting into the business.
Yeah, you know, one of the things McKinsey told us after they did their study in 2011, that many owners that came into the game and many who had left the game said it was just so difficult to find information and... They said it was like a board game that came with no instructions. And so many owners came into the game and they learned by trial and error or the school of hard knocks, because there just wasn't a resource to go to. And so we wanted to bridge that gap with a website that had, you know, detailed information on trainers and many, many different sources. And that helped bridge the gap, because that in itself became a mentor, an information source mentor, for people that wanted to come into the business. Because if you can imagine, you know, if OwnerView.com didn't exist and somebody wanted to invest in thoroughbred ownership, you know, they just have to, you know, try this and try that, talk to a few people, and really do it by trial and error. Now they can research trainers, they can research racing syndicates, they can learn about licensing, they can learn about different state incentive programs if they want to race and incentive, and it's all there. And so it's helped bridge that gap that wasn't there before. Jude, one of the things I learned when we first started this was there was nowhere you could go to find a list of racing syndicates. You couldn't go to Equibase, you couldn't go to Toba, you couldn't go to the Jockey Club's website, you couldn't go anywhere to see, okay, well, who are the racing syndicates out there, and, you know, what are their models, and who do I contact? It just didn't exist. And so, you know, that's just a very simple example of now we have, you know, a whole alphabetical list of racing syndicates that are out there, and you can contact any one of them if you're considering joining a syndicate, and have that information and know what questions you want to ask before you even make the first call. So that's where it's been very helpful. The owner conference, we have found that many, many newcomers have come to the conference, and the networking that takes place there really is a big bonus, because so many existing owners come to the conference, and they're very willing to share their experiences and advice and direction with anyone who participates, and that's been a big plus for the conference. So we've learned over the last 6 years that the networking aspect of the conference is very important. And we'll do everything we can this year, even though we're going virtual, to hook people up that are involved in the virtual conference, you know, to try to keep some of that networking going. But that's a big mentorship aspect also.
OwnerView is really a great service. You can check it out on their website at ownerview.com. You can also learn about the Owner Conference, which has been rescheduled to a virtual conference November 3rd and 4th this year. See their entire schedule for that conference. For more information about OwnerView or the 2020 Owner Conference, contact Gary Falter directly, 859-224-2803, or email gfalter@jockeyclub.com. That's gfalter@jockeyclub.com. Gary, before we go, we got to know who you like in the Derby on Saturday.
Tis the Law. I've been following him since his first starts. Jack Knowlton's been a great supporter of the Owner Conference. I've seen him run, and a big fan of that horse and that group. And my opinion is everybody else is running for second.
It's a popular opinion, my friend, and I think, obviously, Tis the Law, he is not 3-5 on the morning line for no reason. He looks like a 3-5 shot, and certainly if he runs his race, he is going to be very, very tough to beat. Gary, thank you so much for joining us this morning here on the Derby Countdown on HRRN. We love being partners with OwnerView. It is a great service and a very easy website to navigate. We encourage everyone to go check it out. Thank you so much, and have a great Derby week.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Take care. Bye-bye.
Gary Falter from OwnerView. Jude, you know, we both agree we're not just blowing smoke here. It's really a great service, not only for existing horsemen, but people who are maybe looking to get into the game. A lot of resources there, a lot of information. And, you know, it makes things kind of all easy in one spot instead of, you know, having to search all over for info. They have just about everything you'd need to know ownership-wise right there at OwnerView.com.
Yeah, it's a great organization, and I've been to a couple of the conferences, and they do a great job. Everybody seems to really enjoy their attendance and participation when they go and learn a lot about the business. I mean, even if you're an owner that's been in the game for a long time, you can always learn more from your fellow owners, and there's a great camaraderie amongst the participants, and it's really a cool thing.
Want to update everyone once again on what we've got going here on HRRN for the remainder of Derby Week. Later today, race day on HRRN, Anthony Stabile and myself covering the races from 3 to 6 p.m. from both Saratoga and Churchill Downs. By the way, all of the programming going forward will be on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. Tonight from 6 to 7 p.m., Anthony Stabile and Ed DeRosa will be taking your calls, the Brisnet Call-In Show. Everything Oaks and Derby and in between, anything you want to ask those two guys. They are opinionated folk, and they are going to they will be happy to answer any questions you have going forward. Tomorrow we've got our live Kentucky Oaks coverage, 3 to 6 p.m., presented by Twin Spires. Anthony Stabile and myself, we will be covering everything on the Kentucky Oaks card as well as the undercard races. And then the weekend stakes preview, presented by Naira Betts, from 6 to 7 p.m., 14 races to look forward to on the weekend stakes preview tomorrow night. All seven of the stakes on Saturday at Churchill, as well as the four from Saratoga on Saturday and the three from Saratoga on Sunday. Then Saturday, it's a big day, morning, noon, and night. Equine Forum starts you off 8 to 10 a.m. Then it's the Kentucky Derby undercard, Ashley Mayhew and myself. Kentucky Derby undercard presented by Twin Spires, 4 to 5:30 p.m. We'll be looking at the three undercard stakes on Kentucky Derby 146 card. And then live coverage of the Kentucky Derby itself, Mike Penna, Tom Leach, Kurt Becker, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. right here on HRRN. Wall-to-wall coverage of everything Oaks and Derby 146, as well as all the big stakes races on those undercards. Well, Jude, it has been an absolute pleasure, just like it was last year. We didn't get to sit side-by-side in the barn area at Churchill this year, The plus side is we didn't have to trudge through the mud to get to the studio this year, but hopefully next year things will be a little more on the normal, quote-unquote, train, and we'll be actually on site at Churchill for the lead-up to the Oaks and the Derby. It's been fun the last 3 days on the Derby Countdown Show. Special thanks to producer Lee Delapina, who's made it all happen. And he's been spectacular from our Lexington studios. My partner in crime, Jude Feld. I'm Bobby Newman, wishing you the best of luck. Anything you do, Oaks-wise, anything with the Kentucky Derby, you've been listening to the Derby Countdown here on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Good night, Barbados.